Go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I am very much a whole Bible guy. I love the Old Testament, I really do. Very often when the Lord is teaching me out of the New Testament, the Old Testament to me, see, it's more like stories, you know. I mean, it's pictures and it's images and movies, and probably how I see Goliath is not how you see Goliath on the inside, but we see Goliath, don't we? And it's pictures. And so even as I understand New Testament revelation, it's very often the pictures that run in me are from the Old Testament, and it helps me understand. Now, I'm not sure exactly where he's going, but it has to do with all Scripture is inspired of God, okay? And if you've never, I'm amazed sometimes. I'll meet people that's been Christians for a long time, and come to find out they never have even read the Old Testament, not once. I know, I look at them too. I go, what, really? You know? Now, there's sometimes some danger. If you have not yet assimilated the New Testament, get that done first. Amen? Because the danger you run into, if you don't really understand who you are, if you don't understand the New Covenant, then there is danger to going back. You'll read things like, well, I'm supposed to wear tassels on the end of my robe, and I'm supposed to put, you know, a little box with Scripture on my forehead. And those are all types and shadows pointing to, every book points to Jesus, just like we said this morning. But you have to, if you read it though with the understanding, if you read the Old Covenant in the light of New Covenant revelation, it is wonderful. It really helps, you know, helps you understand. So let's look at this passage again. And you got to remember, whenever Paul, when he uses the word Scripture, I don't think he knew his letters were going to become Scripture. When he uses that term, Scripture, he's talking about the Old Testament, okay? So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, I'm not going to back up as far as I did this morning. I start in verse 14. And these are instructions. And again, this is the last letter written by Paul. He knows. Earlier here, he says he knows his time has come. He's about to leave. So, and this is his number one protege. When you know that you're writing the last instructions you will ever give, I think it's pretty important. So let's see what he says here. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures. Now again, what is that? When Paul says that, what is that? That's the Old Testament, but notice what he says about him. The Old Testament is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? Every book, I couldn't go in my house and lay my hand on it right now, but I've had this book for years, Jesus in every book of the Bible. Have y'all ever seen that book? It's really a good book to have. But it's Jesus in every book of the Bible. I'm sure you can get it off of Amazon. And it's wonderful. And it takes you through every book and how Jesus, you know, some aspect of it. You could go back, like even Daniel, you know, they were in the fire. And they stoked that fire, was it 7 times hotter, right? And they said, oh, they're surely boiled by now, you know. They're toast. And they go looking in there somehow. And they say, didn't we put 3 guys in there? I see a 4th man in there. I get goosebumps right now just remembering that message. I see a 4th man in there, and he looks like the Son of God. Well, there was a 4th man in there, see? And types and shadows of Jesus, I'll be with you. I don't care what you're going through. I'll be right there in the fire, and you'll come out the other side not even smelling of smoke. See what I mean? It's great. So Paul says, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And here it is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this now. There is no New Testament truth that is not shadowed in the Old Testament. Whenever I'm learning something from the Holy Spirit and it's something I've never heard before, And, you know, I don't trust it. I'll just be honest. Hey, how many of you know my mind can come up with 9,000 flaky things by lunchtime? I don't trust my mind. I really don't. I pray and I meditate and I try and listen. But that doesn't mean every single thought that comes to my mind. And so I say, okay, I need three witnesses. I need two from the New Testament and I want one from the Old. Because if it's really a truth, I love how Dave said it. He said, I don't know if I could find that scripture, but it says the things in the Old Testament were not the literal thing, but they were a shadow of good things to come. Well, if there is a shadow, there is something real that made that shadow. So if the Old Testament is the shadow, then the real has got to be the New Testament. But if it's a truth that's in, if it's really a real truth of God, then I'm going to find that shadow back there somewhere. And if I can't find it, I don't preach it. I'll just tell you right now, I just don't do it. Now, sometimes it might take me 3 years. It took about 3 years on the widow's mite before I found it. Okay, but once I found it, then okay, now I've got it. Now, let's illustrate that from a couple of things. Okay, I think we're through there. Go to Hebrews chapter 8 just for a moment. You'll like this. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Now, the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Now notice, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Now, this is a little different. This is a little bit the things that really God had them build in the Old Testament, the actual buildings and things, they're a shadow of something real that actually exists in heaven. When he had them build the Ark of the Covenant and gave them specific instructions and how the two angels are supposed to be looking down onto that mercy seat, there, that is a type of the real mercy seat that is in heaven where Jesus, as I understand it, when he ascended on high, his blood was poured out on that thing, you know. Isn't that amazing? So the Old Testament is a shadow of the new, just like things that he had him build here. That's a shadow of the real that is in heaven. But where I really wanted to go, come on down to verse 10. We've been quoting this a lot. Now that you talk about a heavenly, a New Testament truth, boy, this is foundational. Let's back up to verse 5. How about that? Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount, because they needed to reflect the truth. Okay? You're not allowed, Moses, to add another bedroom or something. You got to build it after the pattern that God gave. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come. Now, this is it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Boy, is that great or what? That's the new covenant. That's the new birth. Everything that Dave's been teaching us down the Born Again Trail, you don't anymore have to go and sit in a classroom somewhere and someone teach you that stealing is wrong. When you got born again, that law was written right in that new man. You knew from the day you got born again, stealing is wrong, adultery is wrong, lying is wrong, and all of that. Now you have that witness that that voice, that inner voice to walk by, and a conscience that'll yank you back on, that'll smite you if you try and get away from it. Amen. But now, we're talking about types and shadows, and we're talking about finding every New Testament truth. You'll find it in the Old Testament. Not always as clearly as this, but go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and look at verse 31. See if this sounds familiar. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, the writer of Hebrews, he's simply quoting what was prophesied under the shadow, what Jeremiah was prophesying all those years ago. And you know, they tried to kill Jeremiah. He was a true prophet of God. He had barely escaped with his life. Did you know they did kill Isaiah? Did y'all know that? Yeah. Many of the Old Testament prophets were stoned to death. They only became venerated later, as history proved them to be right. But see, when the prophet stands up, and especially in the religious world, and says, you're wrong, that's a dangerous thing to do. Did y'all like that? Is it that perfect? Now, not every shadow is that precise. I mean, even Gary can get that one. Let's look at another one. Go to 1 John chapter 1. We're going back there again. Now, here's another. You know, everyone thinks this is... I don't know what they think. Famous verse, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a verse that you're never taking that verse away from Gary Carpenter. I thank God that that verse is in there. You know, even though when I try really hard, I still need that verse. Usually I need that verse daily, sometimes more than once a day. And let's read it again now. If we confess our sins, what is it that he wants? He wants honesty. We looked at King David this morning. David says, I could offer a... What's interesting, if you... David's talking about you're not really interested in offering of animals. That's not really what gives you pleasure. If you do a study on it, here's what you'll find. There is no offering for murder. Did y'all know that? Yeah, there isn't. Go back. I heard that one time and it shocked me because I thought everything was. No, there is no offering for murder. There's no bullock, no ram, no nothing. If you murder, you die. David found grace. David did heart repentance. David was a man after God's own heart. He knew his God was bigger than anything he could do. Thank God for God's grace and mercy. Amen. Study it out. See if you can find it. I couldn't find it. I've tried. I can't find anywhere where there's an atonement of any kind for murder. Okay? Not cold-blooded murder like that. Now, manslaughter, yes. But not premeditated murder. Okay. Enough on that. So let's one more time because I want you to see this. So you're going to like this. If we confess our sins... Tell the truth. Tell him what you did. By the way, you don't have to confess your sins publicly. I'm telling you right now, unless you committed the sin publicly. Okay? Like King David did. The whole country knew what he did. And so he had to repent publicly. Okay? But many things, it's not required to come and publicly. It's between you and your God. You don't have to confess to a priest. You are a priest. Amen. You are a priest. I'm sorry now, but... I'm not trying to step on toes. You are a king and a priest. And you have a priest. That's the very verse. That's the chapter we just read there, talking about our high priest. We have a priest. Not only are you a priest to help others, but you have a high priest yourself. What does he want when you come? He wants you to tell the truth. He wants you to be honest with him. So let's see the type and shadow. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you've been cleansed, let's say you had a Lily loves mud puddles. She's still at the, she's all, Lily loves pink and Barbies and dolls and girly things, and she loves mud puddles. She's got a little tomboy in her, you know? And boy, that girl, she can get out there. If you can send her out in the nicest clothes on a sunny day, and she'll come back, and it's like, what happened? And Sue has to go through all these clothes, and now when Sue gets through, there's not going to be a stain. You hear me? I mean, every stain will be removed. There's not going to, you can inspect it. Every stain is gone. Would you say then, like if it was white clothes, it'd be whiter than white. Snow? Whiter, you know, like your sins will be forgiven whiter than snow. All right. Now go back to, I should have had you stay in Jeremiah. Go back this time all the way to Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I love this. And we're going to start in about verse 12. Oh, my goodness. This is a wonderful passage about backsliders. See, when you need 1 John 1:9 is when you did it. You sinned. You messed up. You did it. You know what I mean? Okay? If you do it long enough, we have a word for that. What do we call that? Backsliding. Isn't that right? Well, God has a word for the backslider. Let's see if we can find any shadow concerning 1 John 1:9 back here. So we look at verse 12. Talking again to the prophet Jeremiah. God says to him, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Now get this. "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God." Does that not sound like confess your sins? Confess your sins. Tell him the truth. What does every parent want from their child? Tell me the truth. My daddy used to tell me, and you can like this or not like it, it's the truth anyway. I had a real good daddy. My daddy understood how to apply the board of discipline to the seat of understanding. You know? And he'd tell me, he says, "Boy, you do something wrong, you're probably going to get a whooping. But if you lie to me about it, the whooping you get for lying will be way worse than the whooping you did for whatever you did wrong. You know, whooping you get for that." And you know how I found out that's true? Going on. I think I only ever lied to his face one time. And I found out that was not my best course of action. Okay? All right? So verse 13 again. "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree." This is idols, what he's talking about. These green trees were groves. They were like where the witch covens and Baal worshipers and other gods. That's what he's talking about here. You'd go and you'd worship idols. What does it say at the end of 1 John? What's that last sentence? "Little children, keep yourself from idols." And that's writing to New Testament Christians, see. "You have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord." I love this. "For I am married unto you." I am married unto you. Romans 7. "Through the law we became dead to the law." See, you've already died in Christ under the full penalty of the law. Now that you're dead from the law, you're free from that marriage to sin and death. Now you're free to be married to another. And that's Jesus Christ. There's a type and shadow there too. See, he says, "I am married to you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am married to you." So he says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. I will bring you unto Zion. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Is that not good? Is that not good stuff? So what is he saying? Same thing we find over in 1 John, where he says, just come to me, confess. Let's go. In fact, go back. I'll read it. I don't know if you kept it or not. If we confess our sins, here he says, acknowledge your transgression. Tell me the truth. Return to me. I will be merciful, and I will not hold your transgressions against you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And, I love this, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you walk away from 1 John 1:9, that's why we have in our confessions that because of the blood, what Jesus did for me, I have never failed God. That's what it means. I will your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Now, he has to purposely do that because I don't think God can forget. Maybe God can. Humans can't. Can't really. Well, we tend to forget stuff we want to remember. But anyway, that was a joke, but anyway. God may have that ability. I don't know. Actually, forget. Yes, sir. That was the end of message number one. We're now starting message number two. Do you see how the Old Testament, all Scripture is given of God? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Hebrews 4. I'm sorry. I thought that was the end of it. It's not. Hebrews 4. Now, I actually taught this one a few weeks ago. But this verse that we use all the time about the Word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12, says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Now, the thing of it is, we're in chapter 4. There's been three entire chapters written leading up to this. And he has been giving examples here. So a few weeks ago, just back up into chapter 3, he says, starting in verse 7, "Whereas, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." Now you see what he's doing? He's going back to the Old Testament. He's going back to the all Scripture, which is given by inspiration of God, which is our examples for us that we can learn from them, right? So verse 11. "So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren." Now he's switching, talking to us. "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, I'm going to stop for a moment. If we went back there, which we did a few weeks ago, and we went back to when, this is when Moses sent the spies to spy out the land. And there was 12 spies. And to come back, all 12, remember, observed exactly the same facts. And the facts were, they didn't give an unfactual account, there were giants in the land. They were fierce warrior peoples. They had walled, fenced cities. They were warlike people that had reputations for being fierce in battle, you know. And everything that they said was factual. But yet God calls it an evil report. And it's because 10 of the 12 came to a conclusion different than what God had said in his word to them. He said, "I have given you the land." But they went and they looked at the facts. And the 10 are a type of the soul. Here it says, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. This is the actual example he used to illustrate his point. This is going back under the type and shadow from the Old Testament. The soul, 10 to 2. Would you say this? The 10 spies are a type of the soul, and the 2 spies are a type of the spirit. See, your spirit man believes God. Your spirit man is not moved by what he sees. your spirit man stacks up your circumstances against God and goes, we win. It's not fearful. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So here we've got a type and a shadow of how even from the Old Testament you can see this discerning between soul and spirit. The soul, when you start going, I'm not able to do it. I'm not healed. I know I'm not healed. How do you know you're not healed? I feel the pain. I see the sores. I whatever it is, you know. I'm not able. I don't know why God won't heal me. And you can just go on and go on, and that's all blather, something. That's all soul. That's all soul. That's all that part of you that's moved by what it sees, moved by the circumstances, moved by emotions, moved by pain. Pain is a serious teacher. Pain presents evidence on a continual basis, okay? And that's a hard one. That's a hard one. But your spirit man believes God. See, and that's a type of Joshua and Caleb. That what did they say? They right in the middle of all that unbelief. They'd say, no. If God be for us, we are well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. And your spirit man is like that every single time. It doesn't matter if it's you're believing for a healing, if you're believing for finances, if you're believing for salvation of a loved one. I don't care what it is. Your spirit man says, hey, God is not a liar. He said it. Let's believe it and let's go take the land. Now you're operating out of your spirit, see? Glory to God. Isn't that good stuff? But the Word of God is able to discern that, because sometimes you think you're... People think I'm the mean one and Sue is real nice. Sue is real nice, I'm telling you. But I've been in those counseling sessions where after a little while, if the man gets a little bit too whiny... Now, I don't mean, not necessarily they won't talk like that, but they're giving all the yeah buts. Yeah, but this and yeah, but that, and you know, and well, I can't pray because of this. I mean, just whatever it is. After a little while, Sue goes, all right, that's it. Get your wallet out. I want to see your man card. Get your man card, put it out on the table. I think your man card has expired. You need to buck up. You need to quit listening to your soul. Your spirit man must be starved smooth to death. When's the last time you prayed? You see what I'm saying? You know, when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you got your Bible out at home? Y'all wouldn't believe how much time Sue spends in the Bible. You really wouldn't believe it. You'd have to see it for yourself. And I mean the old-fashioned way, paper. Paper Bible. And the prophecies. She's always going through those prophecies all the time, see? Well, you're feeding your spirit man. I don't want to be a lollipop Christian, just full of head knowledge and a skinny little dried up spirit. We're not, you know, you've seen those Tootsie Roll Pops, right? I don't want to be like that, see? I want to be a full grown son of God, mature, had my bar mitzvah and ready to partake in the family business, amen? Let's be about our Father's business here. Anyway, what in the world was I teaching? Oh, this is, but this is another, see right here, the writer of Hebrews, he did exactly the same thing that Paul was saying. Whether Paul wrote Hebrews, I don't know. But he's giving a New Testament truth. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than, you know, something we preach all the time, but he illustrates it with the type and shadows from the Old Testament. Isn't that good stuff? All right, now part two. I'm going to introduce this. I think there's going to be more to come. Many of you were here. Speaking of Sue, one morning she had a prophecy, which Sue hardly ever does, here at the prayer center. She was sitting right here as I went up to preach, and Sue never really gets my attention, you know. But she got my attention that day because she heard something from the Lord, and she didn't hear it till just about the time I walked up there. And she was going, Gary, is this in the Bible? And I didn't really know. And she said, I'm hearing the Lord say, call out my hidden ones. How many of you was here that day? Call for my hidden ones. And I didn't really, she said, is that in the Bible? Is that phrase in the Bible? It is only once. And it's in the Psalms, Psalms 83. The Lord is good. This is the only place where in the King James where you actually find those two words together, hidden ones. Let's read it. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Boy, it sounds like war's coming, doesn't it? They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against who? Thy hidden ones. Well, what's the plan? They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Now we could read all of this that he makes reference to. These were the natural enemies they were facing then. How many knows we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But there are forces of darkness. Let's read this a little different. And then we'll come back to it, the last half of it here. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the hand. They have taken crafty counsel against the prayer center. They have consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut off that prayer center from being a church, that the name of the family prayer center may be no more in remembrance. She had another word. At first, she wasn't sure. She said, Lord, did you say devastation? She thought that's what it was. Did you say devastation? And he said, no, I said desolation. There's a difference between those two things. Devastation is like, if you look at Germany after World War II, if you've ever seen the black and white newsreels of how the city was bombed and firebombed and everything. I mean, that's devastation. Desolation would be if they came with bulldozers and they scraped it clean. Desolation, there's nothing left. That's what the enemy plans against the prayer center. I don't know if you know that, but we're in that war. We have been in it for a while. Okay? And they have taken crafty counsel against the hidden ones. This little church that's over on the wrong side of town, on the wrong side of the river. And the enemy has noticed and taken crafty counsel that the name of the prayer center would be just wiped off the face of the earth like it never existed. That's the plan. About this same time, she's had another vision. And this time she heard the enemy war. She saw the enemy campfires at night. And by in the spirit, somehow, she was able to walk through those campfires and hear what they were saying. And they were saying things like, you know, take no prisoners. Take no prisoners. In other words, this is unto death. They're not wanting to capture us. They're wanting to kill us. And wipe this place clean like it never existed. So let's pick it up here again now. For they have consulted together with one consent. In other words, this is not one or two demons. This is an onslaught of the enemy. Okay? And they are confederate against thee. So now, here he lists a whole bunch of enemies that they were facing at the time. But he starts talking back to God again here. Let's see. Look at verse 12. All these demon forces are saying, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. They're going to take the land. They're going to take the buildings. They're going to take everything. Now he says, oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest. Make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the most high over all the earth. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, and then Derek, he sent me an email yesterday or day before, and he says, every now and then somebody asks me, you know, we know the hidden ones here, I know in general this is talking about the warfare that's against the prayer center. But then he says, when he told Sue to have you, Gary, say, call out my hidden ones. Call forth my hidden ones. Derek is asking me in this email. People ask me all the time, who is that? And I gave him a real spiritual answer. I don't know. So I got, Lord, how do I answer that? What did you mean that day when you said, call forth my hidden ones? And immediately this thought dropped in my mind. I hadn't thought of it before. You know, all of the prophecies that's come through the prayer center all the way back to 2006 are online at daveroberson.org. And you can download those if you want. And then once you've done that, then you can word search them. You can search. So I went and I did. Now get this. All the way from, is it 2006? Yeah, I think it's 2006. All the way up through the current 2015, I searched for those two words where it was together. Hidden ones. Now you'll find the word hidden in there lots of times. You can search for hide, hiding. And usually when the word hidden is used, it's talking about hidden mysteries. It's talking about strongholds that are hidden. It's talking about those kind of things. But in all of those prophecies, going all the way back to 2006, only one of them has the exact phrase, hidden ones. This is already at the website for you. So it's 2009. Get in the ones for 2009. The number on it is PT09 05 04. PT. That's a pretty tugboat. PT. I don't know. 09 05 04. So that's May 4th, 2009. And the title on it is, It Has Been Released. It Has Been Released. Now, it's fairly long, okay? See, this one, some of them are short, and this one is like a page and a half. If I run over 5 minutes, is that okay? I could just read the highlighted parts, but I think it'd be better to read all of this, okay? Then you can get it, print it out for yourself, and you can highlight it yourself. There's three phrases I want you to notice in here, and you might write these down as you're doing your search. There's three phrases. One, he talks about the hiding place. The hiding place. Second, he talks about storehouses of preparedness. Isn't that good? Storehouses of preparedness. And then right at the end, and hidden ones. My hidden ones. Actually, it's all three words. My hidden ones. They're all three. This is the only prophecy where it exactly says it that way. So let's just read this. The liar's accusations against those I love are that God won't do it. That's the accusation. God won't do it. When the truth is, I have already accomplished all things through my son. He lies, the enemy. He lies and says, you aren't good enough. When in my son, all goodness has been made complete. He lies and says, there is something in a life that is still lacking. When it has been proclaimed in truth that all is finished. He has promoted the lie that I bring destruction on my creation for their good. When I have proclaimed in truth that redemption has come from all destruction. He lies and says, you are loved only when you do well. When I in my truth have proclaimed that mine is an everlasting love. He lies and says, you must earn all blessings through your performance. When I have said in truth, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in your place in me now, through the perfect standing in my son, have been freely given you. He lies and says it can't be done when I have proclaimed in truth that all things are possible to anyone who believes my truth. The accusations, the guilt, the shame all bring a lying atmosphere of pressure against the truth of who you are in me. In a complete and free, righteous and non-condemnable standing. Righteous and non-condemnable standing. Whew. Now, if you write anything down or if you remember anything, I would remember this one. I mean, you know, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. See how this sounds. As my son is now at my right hand, so are you in him on this earth. I got to meditate that one myself. That's a boatload right there. Okay. Now here's where this paragraph is where that phrase, the hiding place, listen for it. The depths of my love have reached all, and all can come into the arms of my everlasting love and grace, perfectly fitted into my righteousness. In the hiding place of my son's sacrifice on each one's behalf. See, that's your cleft in the rock. That's your cleft in the rock. What he did for you, that's your hiding place right there. Your life, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians. I'll read it again though. The depths of my love have reached all, and all can come into the arms of my everlasting love and grace, perfectly fitted into my righteousness in the hiding place of my son's sacrifice on each one's behalf. Whew, I like that. The message of my love, my grace, and my truths will go forth over every form of media in an unexpected way. The world does not see that which is coming, and many who are hungry and searching are going to see the truths of who I am meet the desires in their hearts. The assault against truth will not prevail against those who are taking their stand in my righteousness. Their wisdom will overtake the wisdom of the world on many fronts as my truths are spread through the vast ocean of media. Like that. Many fronts of darkness have formed and are forming to try to overspread all airways of communication. But I have my weapons gathering and even being loaded this hour to fire forth the truth of an everlasting and better covenant and a standing in the Son who lives forever. The person who was giving this was a parenthesis, and it says, I was seeing a large warehouse type building with a very large weapon being rolled out the doors of the building as this was being said. End of parenthesis. Even as you are seeing a picture of large weapons being rolled out of the storehouses, so it is in my plan. The anointing is increasing in my people who have sought more of me, and the weapons of revelation and wisdom from above and the position in me of compassion and love are coming out of the storehouses of preparedness. There's that second one. Storehouses of preparedness. Compassion and love. They're coming out of these storehouses of preparedness at this time to begin my offensive against the darkness that has tried to prevail against my word. Wow. And this is the paragraph that has the actual phrase, my hidden ones. Expect the supernatural wisdom to overtake the way of the world's wisdom. Expect monetary situations to change as my hidden ones are released into their anointings. Hello, hidden ones. Hello, hidden ones. Call forth my hidden ones. You've been in these rooms of preparedness in the hiding place of what he has done for you. He has been equipping you with these weapons of compassion and love. Now he is about to release the anointings of the hidden ones. Call forth my hidden ones, he said through Sue. Just brilliant. Now beginning to understand it. Isn't this something? So let me read that sentence again. Expect, and especially, and he said in that particular sentence, he even mentioned money. Expect monetary situations to change as my hidden ones are released into their anointings. Expect gatherings of my anointed ones to take place as I fill their hearts with more of me and more of the truth about me, and for my plans to be deeply established in hearts that have sought more of all that is in me. Expect an army of those whose daily bread is prayer. Isn't that something? I'm going to read that again. Expect an army of those whose daily bread is prayer to rise up in a new likeness of the unity that is in me. Unity. The most recent word that we have this year, 2015, talks about relationships. Those that are marching forward are going to march in unity. There's going to be those that aren't going to march with you. We do what we can, but if they decide to break that relationship, that's their choice and not ours. But our job is to keep marching in unity. So expect an army of those whose daily bread is prayer to rise up in a new likeness of the unity that is in me. Expect a coming together of the like-minded who have only been after more of me. See, right now I'm thinking of that inner circle that he prophesied about several years ago, and he's going, you cannot come into that circle with your own agenda. Your agenda. No soldier can do that. No soldier in any army can have an agenda other than the agenda of the army. That's the only agenda you have. Okay. Out of this unity, I will bring forth strength and victory and will establish my plans for this hour. Expectancy is charging the atmosphere of those who have only run with me. And they are about to see the release of many things that have to date only been manifested in dreams. But expect to see these things, for it has been released. Is that good stuff? Hello, hidden ones. Hello in the rooms of preparedness, the storehouses of preparedness, in the hiding place of what he has done for you. Man, oh man, that's good stuff. All right, we got to start the confessions.